If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who or what is watching campers late at night while they try to have a peaceful evening in the forest?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program and you want a whole bunch more than just the normal show, you want the EPP bonus episodes, access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, advanced episodes, and all of it being commercial free, sign up to be an extra podcast person. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of that, and we do greatly appreciate your support. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
I don't know if it's just as I get older it happens, but the weekends go by way too fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, I realize that we all have built up stuff during the week that doesn't get done, that you've got to take care of on the weekend. But It's almost like it's gotten to the point, at least in my life, where there is no weekend. Like, you're just working, you're doing this. This chore's got to get done. You got to repair that on the house or whatever. And before you know it, Mondays are rolling around and you're doing the same damn grind all over again.
It is. You're just kind of like you. It's not the normal work, but it's more work of doing other stuff. And then you're like, oh, well, it's the evening now. I'm gonna hang out and maybe stay up a little bit later than normal. And then you pay for that the next day too. I've had that a lot where it's like, holy shit, I can't do this anymore. I cannot.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't stay up late. I'm like sitting in the chair trying to.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, I was trying to watch a TV show called Ghost Brothers, which I absolutely like. And I want to see this episode because they talk about a location in Columbus or Cleveland, Ohio, or something like that. It's supposed to be really haunted. And I'm sitting there nodding off. And all I could picture in my head is when my dad, when I was younger, my dad would be like nodding off in the chair and I'd be thinking, I never want to be like that ever. And here I am.
And here you are. This weekend, my girlfriend, she's a teacher, but she coaches stuff too. So she's in like crazy busy season right now. So it's go, 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 go. And we got together and a friend came over and we had dinner and just hung out. And she's fallen asleep on the couch by like 9:30 at night. And then she went home and her friend went home and I'm still kind of awake. I'm still kind of getting energy, but I'm just here. I don't know anybody in the area and I don't go out to bars or anything like that. So I called some friends and the next thing you know, I'm on the phone till like 1 or 2 in the morning and it's like, oh shit. And the next day I'm just like, I can't, and I wasn't like sitting there like, you know, pounding back tons of alcohol or anything like that. I had a couple beers, but it was just like, I'm just so exhausted the next day. And I don't know if it was just staying up late or if it was because I did my COVID shot too. Number two. And it's Monday. And I did that last Thursday. And I still feel kind of, I never had like the really bad reaction of, you know, lots of pain or, you know, fever. But I have felt just kind of since then. So I think I'm dealing with some of that too.
Yeah, I had mine yesterday, actually, and I got out of it thinking, gosh, this is going really well. It's going better than the first one. Then today it kind of hit me a little bit. Yeah. But I also realized over the weekend, and you know this about me, you know, we used to put back quite a bit back in the day, and I can't do that anymore. A couple, and I'm pretty much done for the night.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, add that on top of it, and it's just like, oh, it's like everything that used to be you could do in like more of an excess at a younger age, like do like a little bit of it and multiply it by 10, and that's how it feels like you were doing back in the day. But, oh my gosh, it's just...
All the fun stuff now is actually painful as an adult.
It is. And then you feel guilty, and it's like, I didn't do anything. Like, I had like two beers. What am I feeling guilty about?
And then my knee and my hip is aching, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, just shoot me.
Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe I just need like, okay, just accept this is life now and stop trying to pretend I'm younger than I am. But
yeah, that's rich. They're talking like this too. It'll be great.
You know.
Tell me about your day.
I don't think our audience has ever heard your Jimmy Stewart yet, but there'll be
we'll
a time and a place.
Around Christmas time, maybe.
There'll be a time and a place. Jimmy should call a ghost story.
Well, this one time, it scared the shit out of me. Yeah.
That'd be great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, I actually had a ghost say my name. And we'll get to that in a little bit. And I have the audio to play back, too. It's pretty freaky. Let's get our first letter of the day. It says, this is the intro to the show. Let me go down to the beginning of the story. Scroll down here. Okay. I have so many stories, it's hard to pick one. My whole life, I've been sensitive to the paranormal. When I was in my early teens at most, my mom told me that on her side of the family, there's a lot of families who are into black magic, witchcraft, and all that. Therefore, we did not have anything to do with them. Unfortunately, that did not keep things from happening to us all. I'm the oldest of four children, and then it was my mom and dad. All of us would experience one thing or another. My mom would talk about a girl in white that was always around her. Our toys would move on their own. My youngest brother would see shadows. When we moved to Illinois my freshman year of high school, we stayed with friends until we got our own place. These friends lived in the country and had an old rundown chicken coop, but as big as a shed on their property. All of us kids wanted to set a tent up in the yard to camp outside, and at this time, I did not know anything at all about this property. Still do not know much about it to this day, really. As we were camping, I felt like I was being watched, so I turned to look at the chicken coop. In the window was a small boy who looked to be about no more than 5 at most. I asked the other kids with me at the time about him, and they did not see him. The next day, we went exploring, and even though we were told never to go in there for any reason, we looked around and found an odd box under the rotten floorboards. We also found little kid drawings that you could tell were there a long time, as well as several shotgun shells. The friends were saying did not believe in guns, therefore never had any. We heard our parents all yell for us to get out of the chicken coop, so we ran out and went to the swing set to play instead. They were all talking about what we had found, and one of the girls looked at me and asked what happened to my leg. I looked down to see that there was blood everywhere. It was dripping. So I washed it off, figured I cut my leg. There was no cut anywhere, though. None of the kids were cut. It was not our blood. When someone at the high school I was going to found out I was staying there, they freaked out and said a boy had gone missing and never was found. I did not tell anyone what had happened in the coop. Stuff like this has happened for as far back as I can remember. Now I'm married with 3 kids of my own, and my oldest daughter is as sensitive as I am. My younger daughter, not really. My son is rare. My husband never believed before we got together and even tried to explain away some of the stuff going on. Now he believes because when my oldest was about 4, my mom snapped a pic of her and got what she called her friend in the picture. We never talked about anything in front of my kids, but now in the house we live in, my oldest daughter and even her friend have come running to me about a little girl in white stands by her bed. When I told my mom, she said that was the girl she used to see all the time. I'm not sure what to really tell her other than to get me when she appears again so I can bless the house once again. That's creepy to think about looking down and suddenly you see a bunch of blood on your leg and you're not cut. Nobody else is cut. Where did the blood come from?
how do you even put any reasoning behind that? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. That would blow my mind. But it sounds like a bunch of kids, doesn't it? Don't go in the chicken coop. And what do? Go in the chicken coop, because you gotta find out what the adults are hiding in there. I love that story. Yeah.
And there's shotgun shells in the chicken coop. I'm trying to figure out, why are there shotgun shells in the chicken coop? Is somebody like taking out the chicken? I mean, you did a shotgun to a chicken, you ain't got much of a chicken left. So I don't know how that would work. But I mean, it's such a creepy, weird thing. And of course, you could look back on it and go, well, if you could only have saved the blood and then, you know, go get it tested. But where are you going to get it tested? Like, hey, I found this random blood on me the other day. Can we see what it is? That's not something, anything they're going to do like at the Walmart pharmacy or anything.
Right. And you don't want to run to your parents and say, well, we were in the chicken coop and now we've got blood on us, because then you get, you know, chewed out for that too.
Yeah.
And your parents probably wouldn't believe anything about it. But it sounds like they've got something running through the family there, something from generation to generation.
Yeah. And interesting how the one of them saw the figure and the other kids did not. So there's definitely some sort of sensitivity there. I think the strangest thing I ever found or kind of got myself into when I was a kid, I don't know if I've told you this one or not, but this was before I knew you. So I was like, I don't know, 4. Now, I was probably about 10, 11 or so. So it was a little bit before I started working in radio. But me and some of the neighbor kids, we would go play in the creek out behind my parents' house. And there's a little bridge right by the house. And we would always find, you know, junk in the creek, because people out in the country, they would just throw their trash in the creek. I remember being down underneath the bridge once, and there was a big rolled up thing of carpet. And it was kind of on a little embankment on the side where it had all kind of dried out. But it was really curious as to why there's this perfectly rolled up thing of carpet. And it did look like there was something in it. And this roll of carpet was the size, you could put a body in it, is how large it was. And we'd find all, like I said, other weird stuff, but never like something that large or that kind of fresh. And so, of course, we're all, oh, my God, what is it? And this is the era of unsolved mysteries. So, you know, we saw something the week before about somebody finding a body under a bridge. So, of course, naturally, we must have a body underneath the bridge. And I remember telling our parents that, and like, my parents were like, well, maybe there is. I think it was like the one time they may have believed me on something in my life. And then they went down there, and my dad, I remember, hit a pitchfork, and he was like kind of unrolling the carpet. No body at all, but it sure smelled like it could have been.
Gross.
He was kind of wondering, you know, is there a body? And they've not believed a word I've said since that time. So
the rolled up carpet did it from that point
exactly.
on. They were just done with your storytelling.
You can say anything, and now it's like, remember the carpet story? Yes, that was one time when I was 10. It's like almost 30 years ago, Dad, but...
Yeah, but you know what? In their eyes, you'll always be 10, Tony.
I know, and that's why our visits go the way they do.
Does your mom still spit on a napkin and try and wipe your face off?
Thank God, no. But I think she would. I get emails all the time of, we think this, we think that. And what's interesting, I was talking about this the other day with somebody. You know, when family visits, especially if they're out of town, it's kind of like vacation, even if you're not on vacation, even if you're in your own house. So your daily routines change, and they're not the normal things that you do day in and day out. But my mom sometimes seems to think, though, that because what she sees when they're visiting is like normal. So if I'm like in the house doing more stuff than I normally would, or I'm not, you know, just doing my regular work routine and things of that nature, it's kind of like, well, is this what Harper eats every day? Is this what we do? Like, no, it's like kind of vacation. You're kind of having fun. And then I'll get emails later going, we really think, you know, you should work on her diet, or we should do this. I'm like, it's like you were here. You were having fun. This is not everyday stuff. But I know it's an interesting dynamic, because they never had that dynamic of going and, you know, being visited by their parents or anything like that. So it's just, I think it's a learning curve that sometimes is a bridge too far.
I'm sitting here thinking, I'm so glad my parents aren't around anymore to visit and give me tips on how to raise my dog, you know?
I think it's different, too, though, because you guys were always in the same general vicinity for the most part. I mean, you moved around a little bit, but for the most part, you've been in that area.
That's true.
But, you know, for me, a lot of my adult life has been, it's like, okay, go trek across the country and I'll see you twice a year. It's like, okay, good. But Yeah, it's good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another caller. It says, hey, I just recently started listening to your podcast and heard the story about the ring around the rosy. And the song is about the Great Plague. That guy that wore the big bird head that dealt with the dead people would stuff flowers in the beak so that it would help mask the smell of death. I wanted to share my most recent ghost stories. My fiance and I moved into a house on his parents' land four years ago. We bought this house when I was 8 months pregnant with our oldest child. He worked a lot so we could get everything we needed for the house and the baby's room, so it was just our dog and me a lot. When he would be on nights, I would take our dog in our bedroom and shut the door because I would get this uneasy feeling, and I would tell him about it, and he'd always blame it on me being paranoid because I was pregnant. Well, one night I was lying in bed with our dog and I started hearing chairs skid across the kitchen floor, footsteps and things dropping. I knew it was unusually early for him to be home, seeing as he did not get off until 6 the next morning, and it was only midnight. I also knew I was not the only one hearing it because our dog was looking towards the door. Well, I got up to see if he was home early, and when I went out there, nobody was there and nothing had been moved. So I went back into the bedroom, shut the door again, and after I had our daughter, it progressed. The footsteps moved to our walk-in closet. I'd be lying in bed and it would sound like someone was walking out our walk-in closet through our bathroom and stopping right before they entered our bedroom. Then one night I was lying in bed facing the wall and it felt like the air had changed. And as someone walked up behind me, then it felt like a hand was placed on my hip, as if someone were trying to wake me up. I flipped over fast, and about the time I flipped over, my daughter that was in her crib in our room had started screaming, and it was not her usual I'm hungry cry. It was like something scared her. I once again brought this to his attention, and he said it was because I was not getting enough sleep because I was always up with the baby. Fast forward a couple of months, and it was time for our baby to move to her home. All the same, stuff was happening, and I was super uncomfortable about her being in her room by herself, but my fiance and I agreed to try it out. One night, I had put her in her crib and was walking back to my room when in front of me, a little boy appeared. And he looked to be dressed in a white shirt, brown overalls, blonde hair, and brown hat. I stood there and stared at him. Then when I blinked, he was gone. I again told my fiancé about it, and he still did not believe me. I started to feel like I was going crazy and seeing things that were not there. But at the same time, my dog was still reacting to stuff. Around my daughter's second birthday, her godmother was over helping me prepare for the party. And when she went to leave that night, she saw the little ghost boy standing on the edge of our property. She slammed on the brakes, and he disappeared in front of her eyes. I finally had confirmation that he was here, but my fiance still does not believe me to this day because nothing ever happens to him. You know why he would not be doing anything around my fiance? I have other stories I'll tell another time. Thoughts?
I think that there's just some people that are completely closed off to experiencing it. And I think that her fiance probably is that kind of individual, doesn't even have an inkling in him that any of that could possibly be true. Mm-hmm. and probably has a very closed off attitude. The fact that he will not believe her kind of is interesting.
Yeah.
And even though she's got backup of somebody else now who says they've experienced it, there's still that question about whether or not it's true. Are you marrying the right person? maybe you got to look at somebody else, but I think there are just people who are so closed off to it that nothing can ever sway them or get them to believe or even transpire in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I get it, like, if you're not sensitive at all and you're not feeling it, but if you actually have the experiences and you're walking away from it going, I saw that, I heard that, and whatever it may be, this case or not, I still don't understand how some can just pretend that experience didn't happen. Although, I guess I would have to say I'm more understanding of that now, because you can take a look at our world and just events that have transpired over the last many years and take ghosts out of the equation. Facts seem to be fairly optional for a lot of people these days. So I guess ghosts are an easy one that people can say, I don't believe that, because at the same breath, they can also say, I don't believe this and I don't believe that, even though it's right in front of them. And they'll say, nope, not true. Like, how do you do that?
It's just an easier solution to the problem. Why have to put mind and energy into trying to understand something that you weren't taught in school?
Yeah,
you can just say, it's not true. I don't believe it. I don't believe that's the case. It's alternative facts, if you will.
Yeah.
And you can like you said, you can apply that to so many different realms of daily life nowadays. So yeah. You're right.
It baffles me because, I mean, it almost, to me sometimes, doesn't it take more energy to deny something that is factual than just being like, okay, fact, this is what that is. It may not be what you necessarily want, but it is what it is. And I don't know. I mean, it just seems like there's more thinking involved when you're denying something that's right in front of you.
Right.
But anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. So I had a really interesting experience the other day over Facebook Messenger. A friend of mine who's a guest on The Grave Talks quite a bit, Bruce Halliday. He's someone who's been integral in the creation of the Ghost Box over the years. And was big friends with Frank Sumption, who did create the original one, and they worked together on kind of perfecting the thing over the years. And he's talked about his stuff on the show quite a bit, and I've been asking him because I'm kind of curious, because I have an 8-year-old who wants to go investigate ghosts, like actually go out there and do it.
I love her for that. Yeah. I love it.
And we'll get there at some point. I don't know if I should take her out at 8, but she's like, she's raring to go. But I'm starting to like think about, well, like what, you know, what, because I don't know what the equipment is, quite honestly. I mean, people talk about it all the time, but I don't work with it. So to me, it's just, you know, it's just a bunch of model names. I'm like, what does that do? Okay, great. But the Ghost Box thing has always been kind of interesting to me. And I know there's a bunch of them out there, and he's been kind of giving me some advice, like if you're wanting one, maybe do this or that, and talking to me about it. And he went to his ghost box and asked the ghosts if I should get one. And this is really freaky audio. I'm going to play it for you here. I'm going to turn off the music. And this is Bruce with his ghost box asking if I should get a ghost box.
Radio show and the host, Tony. Can you guys tell me, should Tony get a ghost box of his own?
No.
No, okay. Can you tell me why? You don't think Tony should get a ghost box of his own?
It says, we don't think he should, Bruce.
Oh, yes, I heard that very clearly.
And what the hell? If the ghosts are telling me it's not a good idea, should I go with the ghosts?
Well, here's the thing. That was 6 syllables of words, okay?
Yeah.
If you get like a 2 or 3 syllable response, usually you're kind of happy with it. But mm-hmm. to get that many words over that many frequencies with that many voices... Mm-hmm. is incredible, because they said we, and it was there. I heard male and female in yep. that when you had it on what, like Instagram or something.
Yeah.
Blew me away. I heard it and I freaked out. I got the chills down the spine and all that kind of stuff. That's some good stuff.
And it doesn't stop there, because he then continues to try and get some more legitimacy out of it and asks them to say my name. Take a listen.
Okay, guys, for validation, can you guys say Tony Brewski for me? Can you say Tony's name? Tony Brewski?
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. I heard that. I heard Tony Brewski. That's great, guys. Thank you.
All right.
So what do you make of it? You've done a hell of a lot more ghost hunting than I ever have.
That is some clear, concise answers.
Yeah.
And with all the investigating I've done, I've had my name said, but it's one word, Todd, mm-hmm. you know, one syllable, no big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard Michael before, but to get somebody's full name, never had it happen. So I've got a couple of thoughts on it. Number one, he is very open, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
to communicating with spirit, with energy, because I've never heard anybody communicate that well using any piece of equipment like that.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, I want to know why they don't think you should get one.
He said he's going to ask. And because I said, what do you think? He's like, they're wrong a lot. They just said I shouldn't get one. But he said he's going to ask, and he'll probably come back. We may have some new audio next week to listen to. He did. He didn't send me this piece of audio, but he said they like the show, by the way. So that's interesting. Good. I mean, I guess if I were a ghost, I'd be kind of cool with the show too, because it's like, yeah, it's an outlet for everybody to kind of share their stuff.
Did he try and push the EPP on him? Because I mean, he should have gone right after that. Then.
See how that works. Yeah. I mean, might as well. We're doing memberships for the living. Why not expand it to the dead?
Exactly. But, in fact, that should be a little bit more on your Patreon, by the way. Get a couple extra bucks out of that.
If you're dead, you can. Yeah. extra stuff if you're dead. But no, I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I was really kind of excited. I was really thinking about getting one. And honestly, this kind of has given me some pause. And of course, I posted it on Facebook, and people like, a lot of people are like, you know, ooh, you know, go get one, or no, don't get one. Of course, my mom's like, don't get one. Satan will come into your home. But,
but here's the thing about investigating.
Yeah.
You have to be sure that you're going to want to get results.
Yeah.
Because if you're not sure about it, don't investigate. Because at some point, if you're at all open to it and you do plenty of investigating, mm-hmm. something is going to happen that's going to blow your mind. So you either have to be prepared to have your mind blown mm-hmm. or not do it. And I think that's where you're at, where you have to decide whether or not you want to open that door right now.
Sure. I mean, and I believe this stuff is real. I'm not like out to like prove that it's not that it exists. I'm right. already going in from that mindset, but it's more so I'm curious. I'm curious as to what I can learn. I'm curious about anything coming through or messages coming through, and I'm not here to like cross anybody over. I don't even know what my goal is, and it's interesting because I ask that question of people so often on the Grave Talks. Like when you started, what was your goal? And I have to kind of ask myself that question because I don't know. I mean, when you're out there, what is your goal?
I think my goal has changed over the years. The first, you know, my first goal was I want to have some sort of interaction. Mm-hmm. I want some proof that there is life after death or that there's stuff around us. Once that happened, then my goal changed. Mm-hmm. Then my goal became, you know, finding the creepiest stuff I could find for a while. And then when that actually happened mm-hmm. and it affected my life, then it changed to wanting to be able to help other people who are either, in the energy spirit realm or help those who are dealing with that. So my goal has kind of changed over the years.
And I don't think I think I should identify that for myself before I really jump into it, because yeah. I don't want to go into it blindly. It's not like a freak show, and I don't want to treat it like that either, where it's like, just make noise for me so I can feel like this is fun and I'm getting something. What's your thoughts on, because I've heard this too quite a bit, especially with spirit boxes and things like that. People say, don't use them in your house. Thoughts?
Well, I think, again, unless you want to find out that there's something there that you never knew was there, mm-hmm. don't investigate your house.
Okay.
I did do that once, and it did create, I wouldn't say necessarily an issue, but it opened things up in a house that had been quiet for years, all of a sudden was having activity. So again, if you don't want the answer, mm-hmm. don't ask the question.
Okay. So can you tell me what happened when it kind of opened the activity up a little bit more?
Yeah, I don't know if I ever discussed this, but I had gotten a new K2 meter, which measures EMF.
Yeah.
And a friend came over who I call woo-woo. She's very kind of like, she feels things. And I would say she's kind of a medium kind of thing.
Sure.
And she came over and I said, why don't we see if we can try this thing out and see what happens? So I did the test with electrical current in the house and stuff like that. We started a conversation just saying, hey, you know, is anybody here? Blah, blah, blah. The typical questions everybody asks at an investigation. Mm-hmm. And nothing was happening. Like nothing ever happened in that house. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I'm going to go run and, you know, take the dogs out real quick. I'll be right back. By the time I got back in the house, she's in the other room having a conversation with this thing. And it's responding to her questions. And I'll just say to make the long story short, eventually it died off and the conversation stopped. And we started talking about work because we worked at the same place at the time. Mm-hmm. And I had a 2-story house, wood floors on both floors. Nobody was living upstairs at the time at all. Mm-hmm. And we distinctly heard right above us, walked down the entire length of the house above us, footsteps, and then a door closed. And from that moment on, stuff was happening. I would get up in the morning to do the morning show. It'd be 4:00 in the morning. I'd be in the bathroom. And from my living room, I would hear a little girl laugh. Or I would be in my bedroom. And from the other side of the house in the kitchen, I'd hear a ruckus and the dogs would go crazy and there'd be nothing there. So all these little things started happening once that door was kind of opened.
What does that? I mean, I know like that's the phrase that's used quite often, you know, the door is opened. Are these things always there and just kind of dormant? Does opening that door of communication energize them so that now you can hear them where maybe they were there in the past, but they just, they didn't have the energy to be heard? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I actually had somebody living in the house on the second floor. She was renting from me, and she would say to me all the time, What are you doing downstairs? What's all the noise? And I'd be like, nothing. I'm in bed. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So she was experiencing something all the time. I think that experience finally opened me up to what was really going on around me all the time. And then I couldn't shut it out. So it was going on.
Yeah.
I wasn't experiencing it because at that point I was closed off to it. You know, nothing's going on in my house until all of a sudden something's going on in my house. And now I'm experiencing it.
Wow. So this is not the house you're living in now, right?
No.
When you left that house, do you miss that? Do you miss having the ghosts or?
Well, I don't know that I necessarily miss having the ghosts. I miss the house. There was an energy there that I really, really liked. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this. There, when I bought the house was originally built by a doctor who had his practice in the house for a while. But upstairs was a very old picture. I would say from like the early 1800s. The house was only built in like the 1920s. But it was a man and a woman, and it was I wouldn't say necessarily a wedding certificate or a marriage certificate, but it was some sort of marriage kind of thing that was framed. Mm-hmm. Their pictures were there and their locks of hair were there. And when I bought the house, it was up in the attic.
Uh-huh.
When I sold the house, I left it in the attic.
Sure.
For whoever bought the house. But that was always strange to me. And I don't know, because I never really looked much at it. I was a little scared of it. I don't know if that was the doctor who was originally from the house or not. But
yeah. What a bizarre thing to find in the house.
It was very bizarre. And it's so funny because a doctor owned the house. And then for years and years and years, it was a pastor who owned the house before I bought it. So there was always this, you know, I guess kind of like light, airy presence in the house. And then I move in, you know, here I am. And I don't know if I pissed the thing off or what. But when you hear a little girl laughing in your living room, it's really freaky at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's unsettling. That to me, I mean, just the idea of the kid ghost. I mean, it's sad in a lot of ways, but it's also kind of scary because you're like, is that really a little girl or is that something else that's sounding like a little girl?
Well, and my friend who was there actually said you have an older gentleman who is either a doctor or a lawyer in the house and you've got a trickster.
Okay.
So I kind of took the little girl laughter as the trickster spirit. Yeah.
You got to assume that other people who lived in that house had also seen the marriage thing up in the attic other than just you, right? I mean,
I would think so. I'm sure that the pastor who had it before me knew about it. And I specifically told the people I sold the house to, hey, just so you know, it's up in the attic. Do what you want with it. So
what was their response?
They just kind of looked at me like I was weird. I felt like saying, "You just you're getting for a ride here."
But wasn't in the MLS.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think we have to mention that a house is haunted in the MLS in Wisconsin. If somebody died in the house, I'd have to tell them that, but I don't have to tell them if it's haunted, I don't think.
No, that doesn't have to be in anything, but just the died in house thing, I think, is the only thing. But
right.
Wow. That's interesting. That's cool. Did you take a picture of it at all? Or
I didn't, you know, and I think back to it and I wish I would have taken time to really look at it and look into it, but it was one of those things where I wasn't sure that I wanted to know more than I already knew about it.
Sure.
You know,
and while you're in the house, I mean, it's kind of like hindsight's 20/20 on that. Like while you're there, that I totally get why you'd feel that way. But then, you know, you're not there anymore. It's like, then you're more curious about it than you maybe would have been at that moment.
I'd love to know if anybody that's had the house since I sold it, because I think a couple of owners have been there now. I'd love to know if somebody else has had any experiences in that house.
Let's go knock on the door with a microphone in hand.
Hey, it's Todd. I'm here to talk to you about ghosts. Anything going on in here you want to tell me about?
In a big van with a large antenna that's sticking off the top, and then show up with can coolers and bumper stickers. And,
that'd be great.
And hot dogs and balloons.
We're here for a live broadcast. I've got a check here for $10 million, and all I have to know is if you've got a little picture up in your attic right now,
If you do, it's the money's yours.
That'd be great. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person, EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Anything you want people to follow you on or promote? I know you got the other podcast going too, so you want to plug that quick?
I would love to. The Sandy and Todd cast, look for it on Facebook. We talk ghosts, we talk mediums and supernatural stuff, and just have a lot of laughs. So
check that out. You can follow me now, Instagram at Tony Bruschi, and I'm on TikTok now too, which I'm kind of getting addicted
to. Oh, Lord.
It's like doing old radio bits, but with graphics. It's great. At Tony Bruschi, TonyBrueski. So follow me over there. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you.